you can't outsource your decisions. The answer really can never come from someone else. The answer has to come from you. So these four principles of real self-care, they're not any sort of like magic solution. Again, not anything revolutionary, but the reason that it's so hard, it's so hard to do.
Thank you so much for joining us. We're joined with Pooja Lakshmim, author of Real Self-Care. So leave your Jasper crystals at home and forget the juicing cleanse. We don't need it. So Pooja,
hi Thomas, thanks so much for having me.
I want to thank you so much. So this is a transformative program for redefining wellness. What is the problem with most wellness programs today?
Yeah, so I wrote this book based on my clinical practice as a psychiatrist specializing in women's mental health. And, you know, kind of a common refrain I see in my practice is a patient that comes in and says, Dr. Lakshmim, I am stressed out, I'm burnt out, I'm not eating well, I'm not sleeping well, and I feel like it's my fault because I have this meditation app on my phone that I know I should be using, but I can't find the time to use it. And that's what I mean when I say faux self-care, because the solutions that are sold to us are not actually fixing the root cause of our problems. The real problems that people are facing is the fact that, you know, 30 million Americans don't have health insurance, or, you know, 25% of American workers can't take a paid sick day off from work, right? And so a meditation app isn't going to fix that. And so real self-care is my answer to, well, what do we do instead?
And you have a section pretty early in the book under the chapter, Why It's Hard to Resist the Seduction, about faux self-care. What exactly are the signs of faux self-care?
Yeah, so faux self-care is the commodified, consumer-oriented products, tasks, things that you sort of check off the list as a Band-Aid. And so that could be in the form of escape, so like the massage or the bubble bath or the retreat. It could take the form of diving really deep into using wellness almost as achievement. So think of the person who, you know, gets super obsessive about tracking their running time because they're training for a 5K, or the person who's into yoga but gets very rigid about it. And then even another seductive kind of faux self-care methodology is the life hacks and the productivity solutions. So like the meal delivery kits and the bullet journals, that's the person that gets so obsessed over, you know, what type of calendar app should I use, thinking that that's going to be the thing that changes your life, when in fact, it actually doesn't really matter. You can use any of the calendar apps and it's fine.
Well, it's interesting because chapter 3 focuses on the game is rigged, that you are not the problem. And that really touches on so many issues that I personally have with how the healthcare industry is operated today, or the diet industry. At the same time, it wants you to attempt something that is incredibly difficult. It's almost wanting you to fail at the same time. And no matter what option happens, it's going to benefit. And as you explain in this system, a lot of these structures are not designed to help us. They're designed to maximize the objectives of the system themselves.
Exactly. Exactly. And, you know, I think the perfect example of this is, again, the fact that it is so hard to find a therapist or to get actual mental health services. It's so much easier to be scrolling Instagram. And, you know, if you see an ad for like a supplement or a vitamin that's claiming to be able to cure your stress or your anxiety, and you click buy and that shows up in 24 hours versus like the really hard, terrible work of like calling your insurance company and having to be on the phone and figuring out if you can get therapy covered. And so I also am coming to this from a place of compassion and understanding that, the people turn to these faux solutions because they really are feeling like they don't know what to do, and the marketing is constantly sort of in our faces.
And going back to that, I won't mention the name of the app-based product that I used for a while, as I was seeking some psychiatric help, and I decided, oh, this seems a lot more convenient because I live in a rural community, to maybe see if this is helpful. And I found that rather than really making me feel like I was increasing my understanding of myself. I was just spending $80 a month, and I had this, or $80 a week, mind you, and thinking that something was happening. And it really, it made me sad knowing I was spending this much for really no actual benefit.
I think that part of it is that, again, you know, psychiatry and psychotherapy, that's caretaking work, right? That's really what it is. And that is not something that you can really scale, right? So, I mean, that's a different conversation. But one of the things that I'm doing with Gemma, which is my women's mental health platform that I am building with two other psychiatrist friends, colleagues, is that we are building the masterclass of women's mental health. And we're not providing therapy, but we're providing education and digital courses and a space to have these conversations that's affordable. But it's something different, you know, because I think that there's a way that the systems of oppression have really been missing from these mental health conversations. So I appreciate you sharing that instead of your own personal experience.
It was a very ridiculous ordeal, but it felt like I was actually doing something. I was able to tell people like, oh, I'm seeking help and therapy. And yeah, I guess that made me feel like I was actually achieving a goal. But really looking at the numbers, it was faux, as you realize. You wrote the book on this, in fact. Real Self-Care, Pooja Lakshima is the author joining us. So what exactly does real self-care look like? You have some sections about how to put up boundaries and have real conversations with ourselves. How did that path start with you?
Yeah, so real self-care is a verb. It's not a noun. And I learned this the hard way through my own wellness journey that really kind of ended in heartbreak for me. Like, I came to realize that you can't outsource your decisions. The answer really can never come from someone else. The answer has to come from you. So these four principles of real self-care, they're not any sort of like magic solution. It's more just like these are sort of like frameworks or guides. And again, not anything revolutionary, like really just kind of common sense stuff. But the reason that it's so hard, the reason everybody talks about it is because it's so hard to do. So setting boundaries and understanding how to deal with guilt, talking to yourself with compassion, that one's really hard for me too. Getting clear on what are actually my values, what do I really care about in my life, and then trying to make your decisions from that place. And then finally, understanding that this is actually power, that this is how we claim our agency back. You know, Audre Lorde said that self-care is self-preservation, and I quote her probably 3 or 4 times in the book. If you are somebody who has privilege in your life and has resources, then part of the responsibility of self-care is taking your extra, whether that is time, energy, money, whatever it is, and pouring it back into your community and into your relationships so that people who are lower on the ladder can get that benefit.
Well, Pooja, as we wind down this conversation, I want to go back to what you mentioned about GemmaWoman.com, and that's J-E-M-M-A. What sort of feedback have you been getting from people using the website, and how can people get involved?
Yeah, absolutely. So G-E-M-M-A, GemmaWomen.com. And people are really finding it as a great third space to find community. So we have folks that are in therapy, we have folks that are not in therapy, but this is sort of a space where you can, if you read the book, you can talk to others that are reading the book. We have classes where you can sort of discuss the skills that you're learning. So, you know, I think with real self-care and all of this change work, it's really hard to do it on your own. And it is a lot easier when you're in conversation with other folks who are asking different questions and trying to make change for themselves. So you can find all that at GemmaWomen.com. And then again, the book is Real Self-Care. You can get it wherever books are sold. And there's also an audiobook that I narrate. So if you like the sound of my voice, you can listen to the audiobook.
Well, Dr. Lakshima, thank you so much for joining us today.
It was such a pleasure. Thank you for having me.
Pooja Lakshima, author of Real Self-Care, a transformative program for redefining wellness, crystals, cleanses, bubble baths, not included. The following interview was recorded originally March 21st of 2023.